Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all this morning. Welcome to St. Phil Road. If you're visiting or you're new with us, it's great to have you with us. My name's Ben. I'm the minister here, and you're very welcome to be joining with us. If you're joining us online now or a little bit later, it's great to have you with us as we gather to worship Jesus Christ together. We are recommissioning, if that's the word, the Timothys, a family from among us who are heading back off to Japan this week. They've been home for a year, 6 months in Northern Ireland, 6 months in the Faroe Islands with Barita's family. So this morning, we're going to be hearing a bit more from them about what they'll be doing. We're going to be sending them off and praying for them. There's going to be a lunch afterwards, so even if you haven't signed up for lunch, you may still go. There is grace for you. You can still go. Apparently, there's loads of food. So do stay for lunch afterwards or head into the hall at the back and grab a table. Head in from the back. I'll give you some instructions later. So do stay for lunch afterwards. It's also great to have with us Nathaniel Jennings from OMF, who are the mission organization that the Timothys are with. And we'll be hearing a bit from Nathaniel later. But Nathaniel, it's great to have you with us. You're very welcome this morning. But as we begin, we're going to begin with Psalm 67. We're going to alternate the reading of these words. So they're on the screen. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as you do, let me tell you, this psalm gives us a vision, God's vision of people across the world praising him, and reminds us that God blesses us to be a blessing to the nation so that others may come and worship him. So stand up with me. I'm going to say the words in light font, and we're going to say together the words in bold italics as we say together these words from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Well, we're going to praise God as we remain standing and sing together two songs, Great is the Lord and Above All Powers.
City of my God, the Holy Place.
Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we worship you because you are above all powers, above all thrones, above all kingdoms. The great and mighty and majestic and holy God. You and you alone are worthy of our praise. Lord Jesus, we come and worship you because you are the one who came to be God with us, to live among us, to die rejected and alone for us. Out of love, to give yourself that we might be forgiven and be children of the living God. Lord Jesus, we praise you. And Holy Spirit, we praise you that you are among us as we gather today. We praise you that even though you come like the wind and we don't see you, yet we ask that we would hear what you are saying to us as we gather and discern you moving among us. Burn away in us all our sin, all that's unworthy and impure and wrong. And instead burn love within us so brightly. Lord, open our minds that your truth may make its home among us. And guide us and lead us in your ways. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may be those who seek all people for your kingdom. Set no limits on the proclaiming of your word. Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we are your people and your church, part of what you are doing in every place and every generation. And we come to worship you now. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, we are sending off the Timothys today, so it's great to have them with us, because otherwise it would be quite difficult to send them off if they weren't here. Hopefully you got one of these sheets and you got a picture of them on the front and some reminders of things to pray for, but I'm going to invite John and Barita and Eunice and Marcus, who are just over there, to come up and join me. And if any of the kids want to come and join us at the front, come and sit along the front here too. Come on up. What we're going to do in a minute is Barita, John, come over here. Barita's going to teach us a song in a moment in Japanese. So I hope you've been brushing up your Japanese, because Barita's going to teach us that. But before you're here, have a. It's on. It's great. Before you do, we thought we'd ask you a couple of questions and find out a little bit more. We're going to hear a little bit more later in the service about what you'll be up to. But here we are. We've got a picture of where you're flying back to. There's Japan on the right there. And there's Sapporo, the city you're going back to, and a couple of pictures. Is that a couple of pictures of Sapporo? Yeah. Is that a big city?
Yeah, it is a big city. 2 million people.
2 million people.
Yeah.
So that's just a bit bigger than Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, and many, many times bigger than where she's from.
Yeah, that's quite big, quite bigger than Faroes. So how long is it going to take to fly back to Japan?
It will take, in total, I think 17 hours.
17 hours.
So we'll, 17 hours.
And is that a couple of flights?
Three flights. Yeah.
And you head off on Tuesday? Monday?
Yes, Tuesday. Yes,
Tuesday
morning.
And are you packed? Barita, are you packed? Are you ready to go?
We will be packed.
You will be packed by Tuesday. What's the most important thing that's going to be in the suitcase? What's the most important thing to bring back?
It's different for us. The most important thing for me is to have antiperspirant under my armpits, so I don't smell. Because in Japan, you can't buy antiperspirant; they don't use it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so they don't need it. They don't smell like us. So I bring those, and my feet are also a lot bigger than the average Japanese person's feet, so I have to make sure I have enough shoes to last me 4 years.
Bria, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm quite lucky. I'm a bit more like the Japanese. So and so.
That's good. What's the biggest difference? So you've been in Japan, it's 5 years since you first went out, so you had 4 years out, then you've been a year back. What's the biggest difference about living in Japan?
Can you guess what's the biggest difference between here? Yeah. Yes, very good. A different language. So the biggest difference is that we have to speak Japanese.
And how is your Japanese at the moment? You've been home for a year.
Yeah, we don't know. We haven't spoken. When I was in the Faroe Islands, I was playing a bit of handball, and there was a Japanese girl on my team. So I got to practice a bit of Japanese. So it was okay, but not good enough. So I think that's
okay.
Where we're at.
And there's a bit of time for you to get it built up when you go back.
Yeah.
What about food? What's the thing you're looking forward to the most about food? And what is the thing you're thinking, I'm not eating that again?
So a lot of the food is very delicious. I really, really love ramen, which is a big bowl of noodles, hot noodle soup. It's lovely. But you do have to learn how to use chopsticks. And we learned before we went, actually. We gave up knives and forks for a while and used chopsticks a lot so we could eat when we're out there. Otherwise, we'd be very hungry.
Do you guys use chopsticks? It takes ages to eat rice,
give it a go.
The first time, well, in the beginning when we came to Japan, we went to a restaurant and had noodles. And it took John how long to finish your meal? Because they were really slippery. He could almost not finish his meal.
And is there anything you've tried and you think, I'll never eat that again?
Raw egg.
Raw egg?
Yeah. John likes it, but I can't.
Anybody had raw egg? No.
Yeah, a lot of Japanese people eat it for breakfast, so they'll have a hot bowl of rice, and then they crack a raw egg over the top and mix it in and just gobble it up.
Well, listen. Sorry. So we know you've been there for 4 or 5 years, and you're heading back, and we know there's going to be lots of exciting things you're looking forward to, things that will be challenges. But what's the best thing? Because we know you're heading back, not just to live there, but to be missionaries there, to tell people about Jesus and help the church there. What's the best part of being missionaries in Japan?
The best part for us is to tell people about Jesus, because in Japan there's 125 million people and less than 1% know who Jesus is. So the best part for us is to tell those people about Jesus.
John, we're really excited about that. We're really thrilled that you guys are heading out to do that, the four of you together. A bit later on, we're going to be hearing a bit more about what they'll be doing. We'll be praying for them. But here, there's one thing I want to do before. You're going to teach us a song in Japanese. This is a song you sing in church in Japanese. So we're going to learn that so we can sing along what they sing in church. But before we do, what we always do at baptisms now is have a picture of the family with the church behind them to know that a baptismal family are bringing up children in the faith of the church. So I was going to say, I had this great idea earlier. My wife had this great idea earlier that we do exactly the same thing, because I think that would work really well. So I'm going to get everybody to stand. Chris has got his camera here. Guys, you come down this way. And we stand. And we'll be able to send you this picture, and you can... We know that we'll are right behind you, from the youngest to the oldest. So again, this is going on John and Brita's mantelpiece, probably in big canvas on their wall. So if you can smile, you don't look the odd person out there. Brilliant. Chris, thank you so much. Guys, have a seat. Brita, yes. we're in your hands.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Okay, kids, can you remember, were anyone of you here when we did it last time? No, it might have only been the adults that I did it with. But I know you are much better at singing Japanese than they are, so we'll be good, huh? Okay, so if we get the PowerPoint up, And we're just going to, I think we're going to take the course just. So if you go next. So here. So if I say, how much? If I say like two words or something, when I stop, then you say what I say, okay? So we practice what it sounds like, and the adults as well. So we start with the chorus go, Hanamo.
Hanamo.
Kumomo.
Kumomo.
Kazemo.
Kazemo.
Oumimo.
Oumimo.
Very, very good already. That's good. Kanadeo.
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 Yesuo.
Yesuo.
And then it goes Sorani.
Sorani.
Hibike.
Hibike.
Utae.
Utae.
Tamashiyo.
Tamashiyo.
Megumiyo.
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 So, Gavin, if you could just play the... Are you playing it? sorry. So the one, the chorus, and it goes, Hanamo. That's it. So if we do that one more time, and then you're all ready, why don't we stand?
Hanamo, kumomo, kazemo, umimo, kanadeo, kanadeo, Yesuo. Sorani hibike, utae tamashiyo, megumiyo, megumiyo, megumiyo.
Very good. Should we try to take it from the start? We can. I'll do it once through the verse. So if you go from the verse, the first bit started with. So now you can read Japanese. So we're not going to take it so slow. So it says, Koko ni izumi wa waku.
Koko ni izumi wa waku.
Namida osugiru toki. Yagate mi o musubi. Warai goe ni michiru. Very good. So let's just try and take it from the start.
やがて身を結び笑い声に満ちる
ask you, can you speak Japanese? You can say yes.
Listen, thank you so much. Guys, take a seat for one moment. We've got one more thing just for John and Burita, or the boys. Sorry, we've got a little present for the boys just before they go. I think Jill's just here, and just a little present to send you on your way. Jonas and Marcus. Jill, thank you, guys. Take a seat. I think that you guys are going to head out now to Ark. We're going to carry on in here, but we'll maybe listen to that beautiful tune as we head out to Ark. Thanks, Gary. That's my cue. If you can read the notes in Japanese there. Let me just take a moment or two for a few announcements at this point. And the first is just to say a huge thank you and a huge general thank you to so many people who have helped out this week. It's been a busy and big week in the life of our congregation. There's been lots of people helping out with catering. We had two funerals, one on Wednesday and one on Thursday. Significant times of a gathering and worshiping, giving thanks for lives of members of our congregation. A lot of people doing a lot of work in catering for that. A lot of people in practical ways moving chairs and tables and sorting things around. A lot of people in administrative ways with Moni and Johnny still off. It's really amazing and humbling, especially for a minister to see a church in action like ours is. And that really has been the case. So thank you so much to many of you who've done so much. Just looking ahead, on the notice sheets are at the back there. This Wednesday, there's a service of Christian unity involving local churches, including us at St. Ignatius at Carrie Duff at 7:30. So we've no prayer meeting here this Wednesday, but do come along to that service at St. Ignatius. Friday is Friday Cafe. And then on Tuesday the 31st, the PW is meeting. They're really sorry to cancel the meeting last Tuesday because of the snow, but delighted that Heather has agreed to come again a week on Tuesday. So it's rearranged for the 31st of January. Sorry for any inconvenience, but looking forward to seeing folks on the 31st to hear the next installment of Heather's adventures with God beside her. So that's the 31st. Also that night, for others who are interested, the Pierce and I and Allstate are organising an evening here on protecting yourself against scammers. It's a kind of community event. They wanted to use our building, so that's at 7 o'clock, if that would interest you, a week on Tuesday. And finally, the Panto is on the 3rd and 4th, and tickets are selling out fast, but there are still some tickets available. They'll be available. I think they're all sold out on Eventbrite online, but there's still some available after church. So do see, I think see Amy, or see, I can say, don't see Dave, he's of no use. Don't see, he's just Prince Charming. Zara and Annabelle, over there, ticket ladies over there. See them afterwards if you want to get some tickets. Still some available for the Panto. In a moment, our offering is going to be brought up. As we're just getting back into this habit of bringing the offering up so that it's recognized as part of our worship, our giving is. And Stephen Pendleton's going to lead us in prayers. But just before that comes up, it's important for us to know as we send off the Timothys that they have to raise substantial funds that they need to live and do ministry in Japan. And as a church, we support them financially in that. We've done that for the last 5 years, and we will continue to do so. And you can know that that was a prayerful and thorough and considered decision we made with a group from Sessioning Committee talking and praying with John and Barita and hearing from OMF and Nathaniel and looking at our budget and bringing it for Sessioning Committee to consider within our wider finances and budget and plans. It wasn't a difficult decision in the sense that we are so encouraged by John and Barita in this work, but it was, you should rightly know, a considered one. As you come then to lunch today, this isn't a fundraiser for you to put money in the pot. There's no pots out like there might be at other occasions for lunches and coffee mornings. It's simply a chance to enjoy fellowship and say goodbye to John and Barita. But whether you stay for lunch or you go, let me encourage you to make this one of these moments where you reflect more widely on what we give, what you give, and give to St. Phil Road that supports mission here and overseas. Alice is going to bring up the offering, and Stephen's going to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. God of the past and God of the future, we bring to you in prayer those people, places, and concerns that are in our hearts today. As a place of worship, we give thanks to all those within our congregation who recognize the importance of regular financial giving in order to carry out your work through SRPC in our community and in other countries throughout the world. These are difficult times financially for many people, and we ask that the problems within our economy can be resolved by our elected government representatives to make things more manageable for those who need financial assistance to maintain an acceptable standard of living. Heavenly Father, we come here today to acknowledge the importance of your word and give thanks for the wonderful planet you provided for us to live in. Your grace and forgiveness for the way this gift has been treated reflects what an amazing and forgiving Father you are to your children. The weeks, months, and soon the year will have passed involving the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, we ask that somehow these two warring countries can find a solution through an honest dialogue rather than battling it out further by acquiring more weapons of war to create further death and destruction among their people. Lord, we remember at this time all who are sick within our congregation, and we pray for their return to good health. And in some cases, Lord, help those individuals find peace with you when returning to good health is not an option. This winter has been a challenging time in so many ways for most of us, and yet there are people throughout the world who would welcome the opportunity to cope with the challenges many of us feel are difficult. Help us as a people to think of others more sincerely and make that phone call or rap on the door that could bring a welcome conversation or prevent a potential problem for those living alone inside. Once again, Lord, we ask for help to find a long-term cure for the ailing NHS. We all have our stories to tell about our own NHS experiences, but most of us have little experience of working under these types of conditions. Lord, bless every cleaner, porter, radiologist, nurse, doctor, paramedic, ambulance driver, and the countless other roles within the NHS who have been giving their best for such a long period without the appropriate financial acknowledgement and universal respect they deserve. Lord, we ask that you enter the hearts and minds of those parents within our congregation who perhaps are finding things tough at the moment. As many of us know, being a parent is never easy. And sometimes when you look around, it appears that everybody seems to be making a better job of it than maybe you think you are. Those who have walked the parental path know the difficulties that exist, and unfortunately, the solution to the problems never seem to come quick enough. But hang in there. It will get better. And never lose sight of these three things: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We have been reminded this week in Northern Ireland the tragic circumstances that can result when these elements are missing in a child's life, like little Nadia's. We ask, Lord, that such tragedy should never be tolerated within our society, and lessons must be learned from the loss of this poor little girl. This has also been a difficult and painfully sad week for several of our church families who have lost loved ones. We ask that when the funeral service is over, the hymns have been sung, the eulogies and the prayers have been said, the tea and the sandwiches and the tray bakes eaten, that we continue to remember those who have suffered this loss and reassure them through a visit or a phone call that their church family is still there for them. We take time to thank all those who work tirelessly to make SRPC the welcoming place it is, and pray that our members, who give so much of their free time in support of our brilliant ministerial team, feel heartened by the security and reassurance this place provides through their efforts for so many. Help us, Lord, as a congregation, to continue to work together to provide an environment that our children love, parents trust, and congregational members look forward to attending each week. We also thank you for the wealth of talent we have within our church family and how they willingly use those talents to praise you. We wish all those involved in the upcoming pantomime great fun, lifelong memories, and friendships from what they have created. Finally, Lord, we thank you for being the one true constant in all our lives. Never let us doubt your involvement and desire to make our lives richer through you. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the great things he does for me. Amen.
Stephen, thank you. Alison Mullen's going to come and lead us in our reading from Ephesians 2. And after that, we're going to watch a short video that John and Barita thought would be really useful for us to see about church planting in Japan. It's actually produced by another church planting organization, Acts 29, who are great, just like OMF, are fabulous. But it's useful because it's an up-to-date video about what goes on and what that looks like. So we'll hear the reading and then watch this video, and then we're going to hear a little bit more with Alf, with John and Barita.
The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen.
クリスチャンがすごく少なくて本当にここに集められている人たちがいるメンバーを数えるだけでも本当に少なく見えるかもしれないけど私にとっては本当にすごい多い数なんですけど
日本というのは1500年の時に本当に福音が全日本に広がりましたけどもその後すぐにですねすごく迫害がありました。ほぼ全員クリスチャンは殉教の死を遂げその後に鎖国がありほとんど海外からの文化またはキリストの教えとかは全部日本には入ってくることがありませんでした。そのような歴史の中に今私たちはクリスチャンとしてこの日本で生きています。そして日本では仏教や神道という宗教また多くの人たちはそれを信じるというよりも本当に習慣となってその中に生きているような状態です。私が家族と2011年の5月に府中市に引っ越してきました。私たちは本当に福音の充満ということをすごく大切にしています。福音というのは生活の中で表されて語られていきます。ですから私たちは最初からリビングルーム私たちの生活の中で福音を表していこうということで生活が始まりました。初めの1年2年私たちは近所を作りながら近所の関係またいろんな関係の中で一つのコミュニティが開拓されてきました。
若田匠です。24歳です。仕事は旅の材料を卸してます。野口さんと出会ったのは私が近所のお祭りでたこ焼き焼いてるところを一緒にお手伝いに来てくれたところ、ある日吉田さんと聖書を通していろいろ一から全部語る日がありました。その時に私の心が大きく動いてイエス様を信じる日が来ました。
いや、一つアクス29の本当に感謝しているのは、私たち本当に日本ではほとんど教会がないようなところに私たちが使わ主によって使わされている時、本当に私たちは同じ神学を持っている人、同じビジョンを持っている人、同じ聖書的に聖書の土台にしっかりと立った福音に立った兄弟姉妹の方が世界中にいるというのはすごく大きな助けであり力であります。
ずっととどまるではなく心地よいところでずっといるのではなくて本当に使わされてそして新たな弟子を生み出していく、本当に私たち働き人が必要だから町から町へと本当に広がっていくことはすごい大切だと思いますね。
私たちはそのようなコミュニティを東京のあらゆるところに開拓したいと望んでいます。
To invite John and Barita back to the front again, just to ask you some more questions about your ministry over the coming years. Great to get a flavor of Japan through that video. I realize that many people here will have known you for the, well, you, John, for a long time, but were here when you first went to Japan, but many people here also won't know a lot about you or about your ministry. So could you tell us just a little bit about the story about how God called you to serve in Japan, and also a little bit about what you've been doing in Japan during your first 4 or 5 years there?
Yeah, so to anyone who doesn't know me, my name is John, and I'm 36. I grew up here in Belfast most of my life. And I actually worked in shorts before I became a missionary. And God called me through the workplace, through evangelizing to my work colleagues. He gave me a heart and a passion to share the gospel with the lost. And he brought me out of the workplace and sent me to Bible College, All Nations, just above London in England. And that is where, yeah, he really prepared me as well to go across to cross cultures and to share the gospel in Japan. And one of those, one of the things he prepared me with was my wife, Brita, because it's a very multinational Bible college, and there's not very many places you would meet a Faroese person.
Yeah, and for me, it's quite different, but in short, I grew up as a Christian and always had a very strong conviction that I wanted to share, in whatever I did, I wanted to share my faith, and that I always had that feeling that this is the most important thing in my life, is my faith, my relationship with God, and I really want the people that don't know Jesus to meet him. And so just from that, it took me on different things, short-term mission trips and so forth, and one thing then was All Nations, where John was, and I went there as a voluntary, like to do some voluntary work at the school. And my only prayer was that God just don't send me too far from Faroe Islands. And so, yeah.
Yeah, God has a way of answering those. You've spent 4 years in Japan. Before that, tell us a little bit about why Japan is so important for World Mission and a little bit about your journey in Japan so far.
Yeah, so a lot of people think of Japan as a very wealthy country and don't often think of a place to do mission. But it's actually the second largest unreached people group in the world. As I said earlier, there's 125 million people in Japan, but less than 1% believe in Jesus. So, there's a huge need to share the gospel, and we just have a passion to share that with those lost people in Japan. Let Brita tell you a little bit about what we've been doing in the past 4 years in Japan in OMF.
Yeah, so we started 2 years in Sapporo, where we're going back to, and we learned the language. We went to language school whilst we attended a church under a Japanese pastor. And that was what we did basically for 2 years. And then after that, we went on to a church planting team a bit further north. And we did church planting with another couple and some short-termers. And that was, like the video was saying, it's a lot about building relationships, being in the community, getting to know people, just sharing your faith with those you meet and that you spend time with. And for us, it was a lot of English teaching with Bible teaching and a lot of Bible studies, a lot of different ways, as you do here. You can think of all the different things happening here in St. Food Road, that kind of thing, but in a place where there was no other church or not many other churches.
Thank you. So as you told us earlier, you head back to Japan on Tuesday. Can you tell us a little about your plans, both in the first couple of months you're back there and for your ministry over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so the first thing that will happen is we go back, and they still don't trust us quite, so we need to do a bit more language. So we'll go to Sapporo, and we'll do 3 months of language refresher, they call it. So whatever we might have forgotten this year will be kind of refreshed and we'll be reminded of. And then we will start, for the first year we're in Japan, we'll work with a church plant in Sapporo. So it is a church that has started, you correct me if about 13 years ago, and it has about 15 people coming on a Sunday. The church is planted in an area where the church is the closest church to 80,000 people. So there's it's a large city, and we're there, and there's just a small church. So it'll be a lot of what we did before: church planting, a lot of evangelism, a lot of Bible studies, and connecting people, building relationships. So that's the beginning.
Yeah, our ministry will probably be very different from what we actually think it's going to be right now. But we'll be doing sports ministry, discipleship, and evangelism. And we'll be in this church plant for at least 1 year. And then we have decisions to make whether we continue in this church plant or work with another Japanese church and help with discipleship and working with young people.
Thank you. As your church, we love you. We're really proud of you. But how can we best support you from this distance? How can we pray for you? And what are the other ways that we can support you during your time in Japan?
I asked John to do this because I'll cry. So.
Okay, you can just throw in anything you think of. Yeah, we're really, really thankful for having such a loving congregation and church family behind us. We have colleagues in Japan that we talk to about churches, their home churches, and we just feel so lucky that so many people here support and love us. So thank you very, very much. You do fantastic in supporting us when we're overseas. You send us mails, you send us messages of encouragement. And sometimes we're slow to respond to those, and we're sorry for that, but we're not great communicators sometimes. But we really appreciate those messages and thoughts and prayers from you guys. Maybe, Brita, you can share some prayer points about... she's crying already, so... Okay, I'll give you a few. So, obviously, in your seats, you have a leaflet, and there are some prayer points there. But just remembering the church plant we're going to and the people we're working with, please pray for growth in that church. They've been trying to plant the church for 13 years. The congregation, there's five people between the age of 0 and 10. There's one person between the age of 20 and 30, and the rest are over 60 and 80 plus. So there's a real need to reach the younger generation, so please pray for that. And pray for us as a team. The team leaders are from England, and they have two young children. But there's also a German lady, a South Korean lady, and an Australian man. So we have a multicultural team, and that always brings about a lot of brilliant things. But it's also sometimes difficult as you communicate across cultures and try to find just a balance in work life. So just pray for our team that we'll work well together and be a blessing to the church and the people in the area.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of our church, I just want to say a big thank you to you as well, because you are an inspiration to us as we seek to reach out to people here in Belfast. But also, you really give us a sense of expanding the ministry of this church, because this church's ministry expands to Japan now. It's not just right here in Belfast. So that's really important for us, and we just love and care for you very, very deeply. And just to let you know, we are behind you all the way as you return to Japan. So thank you very, very much.
A few more minutes, because what we want to do now is commission you, resend you back. And in doing that, I want to ask you a few questions, which I suppose help to encourage you and us about what this is about and know what we are committing to with you. So I've got some questions I'm going to ask you. The answer is generally we do, although I'll be really strong on the verb of the question, so you can know, will you, do you? I've got a question for Nathaniel as well. Actually, Nathaniel, do you want to come and join us just for a moment just on behalf of OMF. And then the one question for us at the end of that as a congregation about our commitment and support. And then some folks are going to come and pray for you. So we gather today to thank God that he has chosen and set apart Barita and John, along with Jonas and Marcus, to continue work with OMF in partnership with us and other churches, with the church in Japan. We gather to surround them with our love and prayers as they prepare to leave again family and what has become familiar and take this step of faith and obedience. John Breeda, let me ask you these questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you believe that Jesus calls you and all people everywhere with the words, follow me? And do you believe that he continues to call you to follow him in working with OMF in Japan? Jesus said to his followers, go and make disciples of all nations. In your ministry, will you seek to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and demonstrated in such a way that many may hear and understand the good news? You've heard God's call and humbly open yourselves to respond to him. As you continue to work in partnership with others, do you go willingly to give and receive, to teach and be taught, to speak God's words and listen to him speaking to you in the church and among the people of Japan? And as you continue to commit to share Christ with others, there's a continuing commitment to let Christ shape you. Do you promise to be faithful in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and in seeking the mind of Christ through reflection and fellowship, that all you do may be firmly rooted in the love and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you. Nathaniel, on behalf of OMF, you're present here today, and we're grateful for that. Thank you. Do you believe that the calling and service of John and Barita is within the will of God, and do you believe that they are prepared to return in faith for this work in Japan? People of St. Phil Road, let me ask you this question. I actually stand for this. It makes it, has a sense of gravitas, doesn't it? As a church, we believe that God has called John and Barita to continuing work in Japan with OMF. We've come as a sign of fellowship and to surround the Timothys with our prayers. We send them in love and in recognition of a deepening fellowship with the church in Japan. So do you now commit yourselves to be faithful in prayer, continuing to pray for the Timothys and to support them financially and in practical ways? We do. As we send you in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and with the love and blessing of these people, our church, some people are going to come and pray for you now. And some of the elders are going to come up and lay hands on you, just as the elders of the church did right back when they were sending off Paul and Barnabas. So some of the elders are going to come up. Alf and Heather are going to pray and lead us in prayer. Folks, do take a seat while we pray. Let's pray together. Nathaniel, do join.
Heavenly Father, we bring before you now the Timothy family, John, Barita, Jonas, and Marcus. We give you thanks for this past year and the opportunity they have had to return to their homes and reconnect with family and friends. We thank you for the tremendous blessing they have been to us here during their time back at St. Field Road. Lord, we pray especially for them this week as they say goodbye. We pray for them and their families as parting is difficult and painful. We pray that you would sustain and comfort them as they leave loved ones again, as well as bringing comfort to the families and friends they leave behind. May John and Barita and the children know that you go ahead of them to Japan, that you go behind them, spurring them on, and that you surround them, holding them firmly in your strong arms. Draw especially close to this precious family this week. And Lord, we pray also for travelling mercies, that you would make all the travel plans go smoothly, that there would be no delays or hold-ups, and we pray especially for safety as they travel. Give them safe flights and safe travel as they return to Japan. Lord, we pray that when they arrive, they would quickly readjust to life there, renew their vision, and refresh that fire that they have to serve you and the people of Japan. Remind them of the language. And Lord, as they relocate to Sapporo, we pray that they would settle quickly and easily find somewhere to live. You have all this under control. Help John and Parita trust you with all these practicalities and seek your way. Provide them with a good friendship group and support network there. Go with them, Lord, we pray.
Lord, we especially pray for Jonas and Marcus. Thank you for them and for who you are shaping them to be. We ask that you will continue to guide and watch over the lives of these precious boys during the next few years in Japan. We pray that as they grow, they will continue to thrive and that you will watch over every aspect of their development and their lives, and that they will continue to grow to know you more and more. Lord, we also pray for John and Barita's ministry in the years to come. We thank you for calling them to serve you in Japan and for their courage and perseverance in following where you have led. We thank you for all they have learned over their time in Japan so far, and we pray your blessing over the ministry they are returning to do in Sapporo over the next few years. We pray that you will work in them and through them to reach many people for you. We pray that the hope of the gospel will shine through them and into all the relationships they build with Japanese people, as well as their ministry colleagues. Lord, we pray that we in St. Field Road will be able to support and care for the Timothy family well in the coming months and years. May we always be covering them in prayer, and may they always know how deeply we love and support them, especially during times when ministry and life in Japan is difficult. Finally, Lord, we pray for the country of Japan and its 125 million people, all of whom you value and love. We pray for a new openness to Jesus amongst the Japanese people, and we pray that you will use John, Barita, Jonas, and Marcus in reaching more and more Japanese people for you. Amen.
We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, which I think we sang when we first sent John and Barita off to Japan. And then Nathaniel's going to come and reflect with us on mission. Thank you. But let's stand and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you. Good morning. It's such a privilege to be here, part of this special service, and it's been such a privilege and a joy to be part of the journey that this church has been on with John and Brita, which stretches back to when it was just John, and then we thought we might have lost him, and then we got Brita as well, and it's just been really wonderful. And I do think the word proud in the right way is how we almost feel about you and all that you have been through and your perseverance and all that God has achieved through you. It's no mean feat to go to a country like Japan and immerse yourself in it and learn the language and minister. So we do feel proud, but that proud we turn to thankfulness to God, because I know you yourselves would say it is God's work and it's what he has equipped and given you the strength to do. So all glory to him. Ben has this morning asked me to talk a little bit about the broader context of mission to the nations today, and then also talk about how John and Brita's ministry in Japan fits into that. But I want to start by reflecting on these verses, which were so beautifully read for us from Ephesians 2, and they're written to the early church in Ephesus, and this was a church which was in a city, which was kind of a metropolitan, multicultural center of commerce and travel. And Paul had planted a church there, and he had spent time ministering there. And then he had gone on, and now he's writing this letter to them, just to encourage them and to remind them what is important, and to stick to the faith and to be united. And the first part of this chapter, Paul reminds them of their salvation, reminds them of what Jesus has done for them, reminds them that it's only through faith in Jesus that they've received the grace of reconciliation with their Father, their Creator, with God, and just reminding them of the beauty and treasure that is. But the second part of the verse, chapter, he talks then about now that they have been united to Christ, now they have been reconciled with God, that they are part of this new humanity, they're part of this global church, this diverse church, which is ancient and global. And this was particularly relevant for them because this church was made up of people from very different ethnic backgrounds, national backgrounds, very different socioeconomic classes. And it was in a city, in a time, in a culture where there was great hostility between different ethnicities, different nationalities, between Jew and Gentile, and between the rich and the poor. In this church, there would have been people representing the diversity of the city, and there would have been people who were, say, slave owners sitting next to slaves. And Paul is saying, Jesus has not just reconciled you to God through himself, he's reconciled you to each other. He's smashed those boundaries between people which divide people, and that you as a church need to realize that and realize that you are united in him. You are fellow citizens of God's people today. And it was really, I think, we need to understand the context to realize what a radical and countercultural message that is, that was and that is for us today. And I think we need to remember that the good news in all its fullness is, of course, about our personal reconciliation with the Lord. But it's also about the reconciliation that we are to bring on earth between people who have been divided by hatred, divided by sin. And for the goodness, the good news in all its fullness to be preached, we need to share this dimension and also try and model this dimension. And where we achieve this, where people come together, united in Christ, worshiping him, who are divided in the world or at war in the world, it's such a powerful and attractive witness. I think it's something tangible. People can come in and say, wow, what is happening here? What is bringing these people together who are so divided? You know, our governments, the world, we're trying to bring peace. We're trying to bring unity through all these strategies, all these philosophies. It doesn't seem to be working. If anything, it's getting worse. So if the church can embody something where people can come together in loving community, what a powerful witness that's going to be to the world, and how attractive that's going to be. And how much is that going to show, you know, in a culture that is so often picks up that the church is against this, we're against that, we don't like those people, we don't like these people. A witness to what we are for, something positive, something beautiful, something that the world is yearning for. So I think this is really central to our witness, is this understanding of our reconciliation with God through Jesus, but the reconciliation he has brought between us. I'm not sure if the clicker is working. The next slide, yes, that's just an outline of this. And it's actually when we find our place in the ancient church, this church that is built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, and as part of the global church, learning and fellowshipping with people from all backgrounds, that we ourselves are enriched and transformed, and we get a more beautiful, fuller picture of who God is and what his will is. So I think our mission and our church needs to reflect this dimension. If we can have the next slide. And I think God has been, when you look at mission and the global church, God has been doing something quite extraordinary in the last few decades to form this new, beautifully diverse humanity. And the way we think of church and the way we engage in mission needs to reflect this new reality that we are truly part of a global church. And mission really is everywhere to everywhere. Some of these statistics are kind of illustrate this. So in 1950, 80% of Christians would have been Westerners. Now 70% are from the global south. That is people from Asia, Africa, and South America. There were 9 million Christians in Africa in 1900. Now there's 700 million, way more than in Europe. And as the church has declined in Europe, migration has, of course, brought people from all over the world to our doorsteps. But many of these people are Christians, and therefore global Christianity is right here amongst us. And we're seeing that across Ireland and the UK, many of the churches that are growing fastest, that are most vibrant, are actually multicultural or intercultural churches, or diaspora churches representing these Christians who have come from different parts of the world. It's reckoned 25% of the UK church today is from an ethnic minority background. And we see those stats for London. 60% of people in London worshipping, probably at this moment, are actually from African or Caribbean backgrounds. We work quite closely with the Chinese Church Network work, COCM, and they've talked about how their congregations, they're actually really struggling to cope because the sizes of their churches have doubled and tripled just in a very short period of time as people have come from East Asia and particularly from Hong Kong. So if we see the next slide, we see that the movement of God's people and spirit today is truly everywhere to everywhere, and it's so excited to be part of that. And that means, if we see the next slide, that when we think about our involvement in cross-cultural mission today to the nations, we have to think of it, I think, in this way. It's still mission from. We still are sending people to the nations, but it's also mission in. The nations are around us, they're on our doorstep, and it's also mission to. God is sending us people to teach us and serve us. And a missional church, I think we need to be thinking of all these three dimensions and how we're engaging. And if we see the next slide, we see the mission two, and the mission two is God sending people to us. And that means our church is becoming more diverse, becoming intercultural churches. And church is not just where we see foreigners and think we need to bless them, we need to be kind to them, we need to serve them, but God is sending them to us, and that they belong, and that they can teach and serve, and they can bless us, and that way that we have something to give to the nations, but we also have much to receive. I was in Bradford, which the traditional English church has really declined, but a lot of these multicultural churches are growing. And there was a minister from the Church of England, and she said, we were praying that God would fill our church again with young believers and with mature believers. And then all these Nigerians started coming to our church. And we thought, wow, this is great, we can reach the nations. But then we actually realized God had answered our prayer for young believers and mature believers by actually sending Nigerian Christians to us, and that's brought a real vibrancy to the church again. So just an illustration of how God is at work by sending people to us who are already his followers. If we look at then the mission in, I think this is something I think you guys know is happening and are already involved in. And just how at this point in Northern Ireland's history, I think people are arriving from the nations like never before, and the opportunities we have, whether they're refugees, whether they're international students, whether they're people here who are working, making a living, or they're particular people groups like Ukrainians or Hong Kongers who are coming in huge numbers because they're looking to find a home that is safe and secure for them and their families. And I put this picture up. This picture is actually taken right here in this church. Do you remember the Hong Kong Friendship Festival? And there were about, I think, close to 500. Maybe I'm exaggerating. There were several hundred Hong Kongers who were right here. And Ben stood here and others stood here and said, "You are welcome to this city. We want you to know this is your home. We want you to know that we are blessed that you're here." And we were able to say that to the whole community. And they were so delighted from the stories I heard. That meant so much to these people who had lost so much and were trying to establish. And what a witness, because the day after, I think, this article was in Belfast Live talking about the welcome that the Hong Kong community had found in this church, and how good to have positive media coverage of the church, that we are good news people, that we welcome people. The next slide, just very briefly, I had to mention this because, to my surprise, someone referred to a story in the Belfast Telegraph on Thursday, and we had actually helped Valley Home Presbyterian Church set up a Hong Kong welcome program, just 6 weeks. One morning a week, people getting together with folk from Hong Kong just to get to know them, to chat over coffee, and to talk about some of the issues of navigating life and culture in Northern Ireland. And then when I saw this picture, I recognized that all these people in this picture, which is tiny for you, but were actually at that program. And then I read the story of one of the volunteers from who was a local from the church, Marlene, who's an 80-year-old hairdresser, telling the story of how this Hong Kong family had almost become like family to her, because as she got to know them at this table, she discovered that the woman, Candy, was really sad because her parents weren't here. They were back in Hong Kong, so she's here without her parents. Her daughter was here without her grandparents. And Marlene decided to say, "Well, I can be your mother." And she said, Candy just started to cry and embraced her. And they became like family. And Marlene says she was 7 years in Lanzarote, and she remembers what it was like to be away from her family in a strange place and the local people who had embraced her. So she thought, maybe God's asking me to be this for someone else. And now they really are. They call her mum, and their 13-year-old daughter calls Marlene grandma. But what I love, she says in this article, she says, I was meant to get blessed by all the love they have given me. Never mind apparently what I'm doing for them. So she's basically saying, I stepped out to show them love, but what I've received for them far surpasses anything I could have given to them. And isn't that God's way, that sometimes reaching out, looking up, taking risks, making room for other people seems costly, it seems sacrificial, but when we do this, the blessing we receive, we understand what it truly means to experience the Christian life in all its fullness, because we find our purpose, that our purpose is to receive, to know God's love and goodness, but to then share it with others. And in doing that, we discover new brothers and sisters, we discover new family, we discover the joy of the gospel as it works in other people's lives. So I just thought, again, what a lovely thing to be in the Belfast Telegraph, and we just see how God is at work as people open themselves up to reaching out to the nations that are being brought to our doorsteps. If we skip two slides, because I'm conscious of time, and go to OMF today. So OMF is OMF International is an organization that is 170 years old, so it's a very old organization. And our vision hasn't changed. You can see we still exist to share the good news of Jesus Christ in all its fullness with East Asia's peoples to the glory of God across the street and across the world. Our vision hasn't changed, but the way we engage with what God is doing is constantly evolving, because we realize that we may have heritage, we may have history, we may have structures, but if we're not in tune with what God is doing, then we become irrelevant. And God will continue to work, but he won't necessarily use us. So we're very much trying to understand what it means in a world where mission is still from one country to another country, but it's also on people's doorsteps, and it's also God sending Christians to places that once sent missionaries to their countries, and we're trying to think about that. And my new role as Intercultural Ministries Director is kind of trying to help OMF International, especially in the UK, think about what that means for us and the way we work. But if we look at the next slide, all this talk about God sending us, the nations, to our doorstep, all this talk about maybe God is actually sending missionaries to us from countries we sent missionaries to, maybe have you thinking, do we still need to send people like John and Barita overseas? And if you look at this graphic, you can see that the answer is absolutely yes. Because though the nations are on our doorstep, and we all have opportunities to share friendship and faith with people from different countries right where we are, Northern Ireland comparatively has so many churches, so many Christians, so many resources. You know, someone anywhere in Northern Ireland could find a church probably within a short walk or a short drive. And then we have places like Japan. And we see in this graphic, it's reckoned that only one out of every 10 Asians know a Christian. We know that God's primary way of revealing himself is through those who know him, sharing their faith with those who don't. And therefore, if there are places where there are no Christians, where no one has that opportunity to meet a Christian who can show them the love of God and who can explain the gospel to them, they're living and dying without knowing the hope they have in Jesus. And as long as that is the case, it's really important that people like John and Barita answer the call of God to go to these places, and we know they cannot go unless people send them and support them and care for them. And also, I think a statistic like this means all of us who are able need to think, is God calling me? There are places where people are not going to hear about Jesus unless someone goes. Is God asking you to consider whether you're being called? And if you are, please speak to your church leadership, or speak to me, or speak to John and Barita, help get people to help you discern that. And talking about East Asia, then we zoom into Japan, if we see the next slide, and then we have Sapporo, which we've been hearing about, a city in the north of Japan, a country that only has only 1% of the people are Christian. But I was really staggered. I heard at another event John saying that their church will be the nearest church to 80,000 people. And it's hard for me to get my head around those kind of figures. So I was looking at the statistics for the populations of different Northern Irish cities. And Londonderry's population is apparently 83,000. So imagine Londonderry had one church. The population of Bangor is only 60,000. Imagine Bangor only had one church. The combined populations of Lisburn and Newry are 70,000. Imagine there was only one church there. And this church has 15 people, apparently, and most of them are older. So if anyone says to you, or you get the impression that the world has been reached, you know, we hear these wonderful stories, which are wonderful, about the church growing in parts of Asia, parts of Africa, parts of Latin America, and saying, well, there's no need for us to send missionaries. That's an absolute myth. And I think when we consider what John and Brita have been sharing with us and some of these figures, we realize the world isn't reached. And therefore, those who know Jesus and the churches with the resources need to think, what is our part in reaching people who are living without hope? And if we go to the, as I close, if we go to the next slide, we see how the world's changed. Even in that going to reach John and Barita, I was counting, I think you have 5 nationalities on your team. And so again, it's still, you're going, to Japan, but it's people going from different nations and working together with a common purpose. And that's a beautiful thing, and it models God's multicultural kingdom. But as you say, it's a challenging thing because there's a lot of potential, I guess, for misunderstandings. So pray they will model the beauty of unity in Christ amongst the diversity, which reflects God's creativity as they do that. And if we go to the next slide, I think, therefore, sometimes we think local and global mission are a tension, that if we focus too much on the local, we neglect the global. If we focus too much on the global, we forget the global and or the local, or whatever I said. but my point is that is a false way of looking at it. I think God wants to grow a heart for the nations in every congregation and in every person. And I think when that happens, people will go, people will send, people will support, but people who are not to go will also lift their eyes and they'll be looking around who is here from the nations who I need to reach out to. And these things come from the same heart, which reflects the heart of God. And just in closing, I want to say, if we go to, there's a slide which is Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. And I just want to address these particularly to John and Brita when I was thinking of a message for you. These verses came to me, and I was just thinking that you've been called and you've been sent to a life and a ministry which is a privilege, but isn't easy. And when we make a commitment, kind of a covenant, whether it's to minister in a country, it could be in a marriage, whatever it is, before God, when things get really hard and difficult, we need to remember, I think, who we are, and we need to remember why we made that commitment in the first place and the calling we had. Because there's going to be times when you're going to feel overwhelmed because of busyness, illness, homesickness, conflict, maybe even discouragements in your ministry, and maybe remember these verses which remind you who you are first of all in Christ, and that's the most important thing. Not what you do, not what you achieve, but who you are, that you are dearly loved by Him, and you're His child. And remember that your ministry was given to you by Christ, so it's Christ's ministry through you. So it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on how hard you work or how good you are or how gifted you are or how well you learn culture and language. Of course, all those things help. But it's Christ giving you this ministry, and He's going to fulfill the good works which He has prepared for you before the beginning of the world. What a beautiful reminder of who you are in Him and how He's knows you and He knows what He's going to do through you. So it's just about our obedience and our faithfulness and letting Him shine through us and work through us. And that you are, you go as ambassadors to Japan of another kingdom, not of ambassadors for Faroe Islands or Northern Ireland, not of ambassadors to any other kingdom, but ambassadors to the true kingdom, to Jesus's kingdom. And the word that kept coming to me when I thought of being an ambassador was authority. And you go in His authority, with His authority. You go to a place where the gospel is scarce, but you go representing the King of the world and His kingdom, and just know you are part of something so big and so powerful. You're frail, but you go as His ambassadors, and He's with you. And the final slide, let's all remember as we go from this place that we are part of this wonderful kingdom, and we're going out to invite people to taste and see that God is good, that God is generous, that God is gracious. We've all experienced that, and now we go to invite others. Come to this banquet. You'll be able to taste it, a flavor of it in this life, and at the end, you'll be sat around, and we'll be sat around with the people who we have shared our life and our faith with to just enjoy forever God's goodness. So we go across the city, and we send John Brita across the world, but we're part of this wonderful mission of God. We're caught up in seeing Him proclaimed among the nations. And thank you for partnering. Thank you for supporting John and Brita so well. And I just urge you to keep up that passion for the nations and all the different things that you're doing. And just to I guess, recommit ourselves and to worship the Lord who this mission belongs to. Let's stand, and we're going to sing Hear the Call of the Kingdom. So thank you.
Nathaniel, thank you so much for sharing with us. Folks, let me encourage you to stay. There's lots and lots and lots of food, plenty of space. You can stay for lunch and do get a chance to chat with John and Barita as we send them off. Let me pray. So when we head through, just head on through as far as you can and fill up from the back, and that makes it easier for people coming in afterwards to come to the tables at the front. So get on through there, get your food and fill up from the back. There'll be a little quiz on the table that you can take part in for the chat around the table. But I'm going to give thanks now for the food so that you don't have to wait until I get in there to start eating. Let's pray as we close. Father God, we thank you that you're God of all creation. We thank you for all the good things that you give to us. We thank you that you call us to be your ambassadors here and across the world. Lord, send us out in that truth and in that hope. And Lord, as we now gather and enjoy food together, bless that food, bless that fellowship and that conversation, all for your glory. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forevermore. Amen.